Welcome to part four of our series, and this is the conclusion of our series, When Life Gives You, everybody say it. And so, you know, the old saying is, and we've been saying this, but the old saying is, when life gives you lemons, what do? Lemonade. How many of you know you don't just make lemonade, you overcome the lemons? Amen. So, you know, life happens. And listen, we're not meaning to, with the title of this series, meaning to diminish problems and things that we encounter in life. They're, you know, they're all important. And but sometimes you just have to take it and believe God that you're going to come through on the other side. And you know, life happens to all of us. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But if you want to take out your message notes, go ahead, and you're going to want to jot some things down today. And you know I say this a lot, but I believe I've heard from heaven in what we're going to talk about today. And so I want to just say some things to you to stir your heart, remind you of some things. I'm not necessarily going to say a bunch of new stuff, you know, but sometimes you need to hear things over and over and over again. How many of you know? I know I don't. I don't get it one time. I have to hear it over and over. And that's why, you know, Romans 10:17, Paul said this, faith comes not by having heard. He says, faith comes by what? Hearing. And then he said, and hearing. So, and really what that means in the Greek, it's an ongoing situation. It's something that happens on a continual basis. And so we need to hear the word all the time. So let's take a look at our foundation scripture that we've been basing the series on, found in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It's on your notes there or on the screen if you'd like to follow along. James said this, my brethren or my sisterin, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy. Now, notice we said a couple of weeks ago, notice he didn't say be happy. Because happiness is dependent upon your circumstances. Joy is something you can have no matter what's going on in your circumstances. So he said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. Everybody say patience. And we said this, patience doesn't mean putting up with. Patience means being consistent. If you look it up in Webster's Dictionary, that's what it means, to be consistent. So the testing of your faith produces consistency. So if you stand in faith, you're going to remain consistent. But let patience have its perfect work. Here we go. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And I want to read verse 4 in the Amplified. It says this, but let steadfastness, or let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people, and here we go, perfectly and fully developed with no defects. God wants you perfectly and fully developed with no spiritual defects whatsoever so that he can bring you to this place right here, lacking nothing. You know, I'm not quite there yet. I'm on my way to lacking nothing because God meets all of our needs. Amen. But here's where we're heading towards that. So as we endure these things, what God does is he works and he brings us to this place where we, and really this is what James is saying, so that when things happen, when life gives us lemons, God wants to bring you through it and bring you out on the other side better off than when the lemons showed up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, so if you're following along in your message notes, let me give you some friendly reminders. Turn to that person again on the side of you and tell them this. Say, he's getting ready to.
Getting ready.
Or let's go country for a second. Say, he fitting to.
Fitting to.
Give you some reminders.
Reminders.
All right. So he's getting ready to remind you. He's fixing to remind you of some stuff. So here we go. If you're writing notes, write this down. Here's the first one. The trial that you might be facing, the lemons, whatever you want to call it, did not come from God. Now, in the Greek language, as we said the very first week of this series, that word trial means pressure. It means adversity that comes about in our lives because the enemy is trying to extract from your life something that you believe. And so what he does is he generates pressure against us to get you to back away from what you believe. A perfect example of this is, you know, if you've been saved for a long time or a little while, you might remember this, that the moment you got saved, or actually a little while after you received the Lord, and you know, kind of the euphoria has worn off and life is just kind of happening. How many of you know the enemy then comes and brings some pressure to tell you, well, you really didn't get saved. You know, nothing really happened to you. And so what he's trying to get you to do is to back away from what you believe. And so we have to determine that we're not going to do that. But the biggest thing is to remember that that pressure never comes from God. God doesn't bring adversity into our lives to test us, to try us, contrary to what religion will tell you. You know, religion will try and tell you that God brings sickness and disease, that God allows car wrecks, God does all kinds of stuff to just work in our lives. Listen, God is able to work in your life without Uncle Fred dying in a car wreck. Okay? Now what happens is when adversity does happen, a lot of us, we turn to God. Now how many of you know that if you'll crack the door this much, God's going to try and step through. So he'll take advantage of any opportunity. So if you turn your heart towards him in a situation, he's going to begin to move in your life. So a lot of times, you know, I've heard it said, you know, well, the Lord gave me this heart attack so I could get close to him. No, you could have gotten close to him without the heart attack. But see, just because while you were in the hospital, you picked up that Gideon's Bible that's laying in the table beside the bed and decided to read it, God started moving in your life. Hallelujah. Let's read the scripture. James chapter, somebody's saying, I wish he'd get off that. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say, so I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what grandma and them said. Let no one say when he is tempted, tested, or tried, I am tempted, tested, or tried by God. For God cannot be tempted, tested, or tried by evil, nor does he himself tempt, test, or try anybody. With adversity, with evil, okay? So he said, don't even say it. So the first thing is the trial did not come from God. Let me remind you of another thing. Here we go. You are not the first or only person to face this trial. Now look at me, write that down real quick and then look at me for just a second. This is a huge tool that the enemy is going to try and prove or pull off in your life, and that is this. You are the only one that has ever faced a situation like this. Nobody else has ever been through a trial like this, pressure like this. There must be something wrong with you. And so you are the only one. And he endeavors to get us to believe that type of thing. So the scripture teaches us something different. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Paul said this, reading from the New Living. He said, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Now, the minute details might be a little bit different, but what I want you to see is the circumstances, the overall experience, somebody else is either going through that right now or has gone through that situation. So you are not alone. You're not unique. There's not anything wrong with you, and that's what's causing it. And God is faithful, he said. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Now, this is where people kind of get this scripture twisted. You ever heard anybody say, well, you know, God will never put on you more than you can handle? Okay. Can I just do a PSA, public service announcement, for just a moment? Okay. If you are in a situation and a tornado just came and tore up your neighbor's home and they put the microphone in your face, don't say something like that. It's always the person that, you know, that is trying to be spiritual in that moment, and they'll say, you know, something, well, you know, God will never put on you more than you can handle. And so, and that is not what the Bible teaches at all. This scripture is not saying that. What it is saying is that God is faithful and he won't allow the devil to pull something in your life that you're not able to overcome. That ought to be good news for somebody. See, God has some parameters that he has to operate in, and the situation is this, that he can't go and from maybe his past as an archangel and bring something that has never existed in humanity before and try and pull that on you. No, God will not allow him to do that. God will provide a way, it says, that he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So the good news is, anytime pressure is brought to bear in our lives, listen, God will always show you a way out. He will always provide a way of escape, the scripture says. All right, so here's number three. Don't try and face it alone. Don't try and face the pressure alone. Now, and let me make some further comment, but let me finish this. Isolation is a big mistake. Don't try and go through the pressure alone. Isolation is a big mistake. Okay, now here's what I mean by that. In that what happens is, and it's human nature, I think, is that when things are happening in our lives, what we have a tendency to do is withdraw. We have a tendency to back away. We back away from relationships. We back away from, you know, and I'm just going to say this, that a lot of times when things are happening in our lives is when people decide not to come to church. Listen, when adversity is happening in your life, that's when you need to be in church. That's when you need to have relationships. That's when you need to have people. Now, I'm not implying that you get all over Facebook and put your bitterness out there. But you need some people in your life that you can agree with, that you can pray with, and that you can share some things with, maybe in confidence. Well, let me just tell you why. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a lion. It says he walks like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Same thing Paul said in 1 Corinthians. But here's the thing that I want you to see. Notice he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, looking to see whom he may devour. Can I tell you one thing? Just make a decision right now. You're a whom he cannot devour. Amen. Just make that decision. Just determine, okay, I am not somebody that's going to have free access for the enemy to be able to come into my life. Now, let me tell you why this is so important. And perhaps Paul knew this, or Peter rather, and this is why he decided to use this as an example. Okay, now I have never been on an African safari, but I have friends who are from South Africa who have been on South African safaris or in that area, and I have other friends who are Americans who have gone over on safari. Now, here's one thing they will tell you. Maybe you've seen on TV those vehicles that you ride into the bush in, you know, that have the elevated areas where you can sit and you can watch and you can see the animals. Anybody seen that? Okay. All right. So here's what the guides will tell you. Whatever you do, do not get out of the vehicle. And they're not just saying that because they don't want to chase you around. No, when you ride up on a pride of lions that are sitting there, as long as you're in the vehicle, first of all, they don't like the vehicle because of the exhaust fumes and the things like that. They don't like the smell of that, so it is not attractive to them whatsoever. Plus, when that lion looks, his vision, all he sees is this one big object that's much bigger than he, and so he is not able to, or she is not able to overcome that, and it's not appealing to them as prey. Now, here's why they will tell you, do not get out of the vehicle, because the moment you step out of the vehicle, you become prey, because now you're out of the big thing that's designed to keep you safe in the mind of that lion, and now you're out and you're isolated and you're all by yourself. There have been, I've read a couple of stories where there have been tourists that have gone on safari and there was a group from China, I believe it was, and they were on safari, and one of the people got out of the truck and got down because he wanted to take a picture. Well, the moment that he took the steps and got away from the vehicle, the lions attacked him and killed him. Why? Because they're looking for someone to devour. Listen, but as long as you remain together and are not isolated, you are not able to be prey for them. And the same thing with the devil. When the devil looks, all he sees is a solid unit. When he sees you within relationships, he sees you within church, he sees you with other believers, You're not appealing to him because he knows that he can't overcome all of you together. But the moment that you withdraw and the moment that you cut everything off, the moment that you quit talking to people, quit praying, quit reading your Bible, doing all of that type of thing, you become isolated. You've gotten out of the truck and you're now on his turf and you're able to be fair game for him. So that's why it's so important that you don't isolate yourself. Turn to somebody and say this, don't do life alone. All right, so listen, because life is going to happen. Lemons are going to happen. So what we have to do is we have to make sure that we're not trying to do it by ourselves. Again, I'm not implying that you put all your business out there, but what I am saying is you need to have relationships in your life with people who believe like you, know how to pray for you, and can stand with you in faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, here's something that's just as important. Here we go. Jesus has experienced what you are experiencing and will bring help to you. Now, we find that hard to believe because we have this mindset about Jesus that is really not biblical. We have this mindset that Jesus walked around in his earthly ministry with a white robe on that never got dirty, that he never needed to take a bath. We don't think about stuff like that. And so, you know, that he always walked around with a little baby lamb underneath his arm, and he was, you know, and everywhere he went. And as we were joking about this before church, that, you know, Jesus spoke with the British accent, right? And he was always, his hair was always perfect, beard always perfect, everything together. And see, that's the image of Jesus that we have. So when a preacher stands up and says, you know, Jesus has faced the same temptation that you face, we have a hard time receiving that because we just can't see him getting on our level. Listen to me. When Jesus left heaven and came to the earth as a human being and was born in Bethlehem, he got on your level. He experiences everything, or has experienced everything that you've experienced. Look at what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4. I love this. Seeing then, verse 14, that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, tested, or tried as we are, yet without sin. Now, I don't know where you've been. I don't know what your history is. I don't know what levels of sin you were involved in before you came to Jesus. But here's what I want you to know. Every temptation that you faced or do face, Jesus has faced it. We need to understand that. Every sin that you have faced, Jesus faced the same temptation. Now, here's the good news. He didn't yield to it. Now, what that does is that tells me a couple of things. Number one, it tells me if he didn't yield to it, I don't have to yield to it because I'm in him and he's in me. And so because he got the victory over that, I can have the victory over that. So you can have the victory over whatever that temptation is. So let's see. It says this, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore. Now in the Bible, when you see the word therefore, take a moment to think what it's there for. Okay? So what the writer is doing is he's continuing that same thought. Because Jesus was tempted in all points like we are tempted, yet without sin, therefore we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Notice it does not say condemnation. He doesn't say come to the throne of guilt and shame. He says, come to the throne of grace. Why? So that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Jesus wants to help you in that moment when the pressure is on. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. Now, here's the thing you need to understand. Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He will not help you unless you ask Him to help you. So that's why He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, I want to say this, and I'm just prompted in my heart to say this. Don't confuse temptation with sin. Being tempted to do something is not the same as sinning. Okay? Because here's what happens. When we get tempted to do something, and whether we yield or not, condemnation has a tendency, guilt has a tendency to come on us because we were tempted. Don't confuse the two. If temptation comes and you don't yield to the temptation, guess what? You haven't sinned. And so therefore, when the pressure is on, you can run to Jesus and get help to overcome the pressure. But somebody says, but what if I yield to the pressure? Okay, I'm not giving you permission to sin, but what I am saying to you is this. If you do, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So yeah, we don't intend to sin, but if you do, guess what? His grace covers that as well. And you can go and receive forgiveness and find grace to help in that situation as well. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I really am. Because God's been better to me than I really deserve. He's given me protection and coverage all the way around. Amen. All right. So then, that's some friendly reminders. So then the question to bear is, when life gives you lemons, what do you do? Now, you know me, I'm super duper practical, so I'm going to just give you some very practical things. How many of you are listening? How many of you are going to do what I tell you to do? Okay, it's not crazy, it's Bible, okay? Thank you, Janice. I see your hand back there. Praise the Lord. Nobody else raising their hands in the back but Janice. Hallelujah. All right, Janice loves her pastor, so anyway. Here we go. Number one, here's what you got to do. Prepare for the trial in advance. Prepare for the trial in advance. Somebody said, well, how do I know what to prepare for? You don't need to know specifics. All you need to know is the trial is coming. And I can promise you, as long as you're in the earth, anybody still in the earth?
Yeah.
All right. As long as you are here and haven't gone to heaven, trials are going to come. Okay, but here's the good news. You can prepare for the trial in advance. Now, I cannot emphasize to you enough the importance of point number one. I really can't. I could preach a week on it and it wouldn't be enough. Because if I could just get believers, including myself, to prepare for life in advance instead of trying to prepare when it's happening. Can I just say this to you? It's a whole lot easier to build a house when the weather's great than it is in the middle of a hurricane. And so we can prepare for the trial before it ever comes. Now, I want to give you something that I read that a Navy SEAL said, and I'm going to explain this just a little bit. This is nothing new. I've said this before, but it's so important. Here we go. When you're under pressure, you never rise to the equation, or to the occasion rather. You always fall to the level of your preparation. I'm going to say that again. When the pressure is on, you never rise to the occasion. I know we say that, you know, yeah, they showed up and they rose to the occasion. No, they didn't. You always fall back to the level of your preparation. Okay? So you need to understand that as we're going through life and pressures come and trials come, you never step up and rise to the occasion. You fall back to the level that you prepared. So if you've been preparing all along, then that's why it seems like you might rise to the occasion, but you really don't rise. You just settle back to where you have already been preparing. So that's why, you know, I've done so, you know, I come from a military family, and so I kind of love military stuff. So I watch a lot of stuff like that on TV. And I love to see, first of all, I have a huge, huge admiration and respect for people in the military, but especially those men and women who go to a whole different level. And how many of you know Navy SEALs, Rangers, and Green Berets are all on a different level, okay? I'm talking about, there's a podcast that I listen to that is a group of former SEALs that do this podcast, and it is it's awesome to listen to them because they just think differently. You know, they're kind of wild and crazy, but they think differently. They think just on a whole different level. And so what one of the SEALs said, or this is what I read, is that you always sink to the level of your training. So this is why when SEALs are training, they do the high intensity training is based on solely repetition. They do the same exercise. I'm not talking about physical, like workout exercise. I'm talking about if they're planning a mission or they're getting ready to go do something. They do this exercise over and over and over again. If you've, you know, done any reading or you know, when SEAL Team 6 was going into Pakistan to take out Osama bin Laden. Matter of fact, they had a facility here in North Carolina that they practiced at, and they had a facility on the West Coast that they practiced at. And they don't just run through it or look at pictures and say, oh, that's nice, and here's what we're going to do, and this is... No. They do the exercise over and over and over and over again. Here's why. Listen to me. Get this. It's so that when they're in the heat of the moment, they don't have to think about what they're doing. It becomes automatic to them. It becomes something that is second nature. And the same thing is true for us spiritually. We can train on that same level so that when things happen in our lives, we don't even really have to be conscious and think of what our response needs to be. It becomes automatic. So when pressure comes and the enemy tries to generate things in our life to get us off, to cause defeat in our lives, we know automatically what we need to do because we fall back to that level of preparation. Am I helping anybody? Yeah. Let me tell you, let me read a scripture to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 from the Amplified Bible says this, "For physical training is of some value." It's useful for a little, okay? That's why, you know, I do it a little, okay? Okay. You know, it's like the old joke. You know, I went to the gym the other day and... one of these days I'm going to go in. But anyway, but he says, physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training. And see, we don't think about it in that light, but it is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come. Now, let me just kind of, I'm not telling you to do what I do. I'm going to tell you what the Lord has directed me to do, okay? Probably about 18 months ago to 2 years, the Lord began to deal with me. It's probably longer than that, but I didn't obey at first. And so the Lord began to deal with me every day to do two things. Number one is the healing scriptures that we make available to everybody. They're on our website, and we have them printed out here, and you can pick it up on your way out. But the healing scriptures is to read them out loud every day. Read them out loud. And there's probably 40 verses. I forgot the count exactly. But, you know, and it takes a few minutes to do that. Do I feel like doing it every day? No, I don't. But here's the thing that you need to understand. Well, let me tell you what the other thing was. So he told me to begin to speak those healing scriptures over my life every single day, and then also to spend 30 minutes a day praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. Now, here's what you know, did I obey instantly? No, I'm just like you. You know, I didn't feel like doing it. I kind of put it off. And finally, I decided, okay, I got to do what the Lord's telling me to do. Again, I'm not telling you to do this. I'm telling you this is what God told me to do. Of course, it wouldn't hurt you if you did. But anyway, and so I've been doing this now for, I'd say, at least a good year or year and a half. And here's what's interesting is that this year alone, I mean, within the first 6 months of this year, I probably had more health challenges come up than I have in the previous 2 years. I mean, I woke up. Listen, when I was in junior high, I had mono. I know it's the kissing disease. I don't know how I got it. I'm not, you know, but anyway. So when I was in middle school, junior high, middle school, whatever you want to call it, I had mono. Well, I just minding my own business in January of this year. I mean, apparently that virus, and I didn't know this, that virus never leaves your body. And all of a sudden I had mono again in January. Okay. And I know I ain't been kissing nobody. And so, all right. So, you know, we got past that. You know, I prayed and I believed God and got past that. Well, then, you know, I my senior year of high school, I had the chicken pox. And it really jacked up my senior year. It was not only my senior year, but the last week of my senior year in high school. I had perfect attendance all 3 years of my senior, my high school years. And that's when high school was 3 years. And so 10th, 11th, and 12th. And so I'm sailing along. I'm ready for graduation. And all of a sudden, I get the chicken pox. Well, another thing that I didn't know is that the chickenpox virus never leaves your body, according to what the doctors say. And so in May, I got the shingles. And they ain't no fun, okay? So here's my point, is that because I've been preparing for that, training for that, when those things happened, I was ready for them. I was prepared. And here's what I have discovered, okay? And by the way, many of you know that as I was winding down with the shingles, I had a kidney stone, okay? And they definitely are no joke, all right? But here's my point in saying all that. I'm not trying to get you to feel sorry for me because the pastor's not breaking down or anything like that, all right? But here's why I'm telling you. Because I have been preparing, because I have been training, when those things happened, I was on it with the word and was against it and standing in faith. And guess what? It shortened the duration of it. I mean, it was just a brief period of time and those things were over. All right? So here's what I'm trying to get you to see is that we need to know the Bible teaches us. Listen, I hope you don't leave our church because we teach the word of God and we teach faith and we teach Bible principles. Don't ever get the understanding that because of that, you're exempt from problems, okay? No, what we do is we teach you a way to deal with life and to deal with problems and to come out through them on the other side victorious. And so what I want you to know is that things are going to happen, and here's the good news. You can be ready for them, all right? Tell somebody, be ready. All right? So then during that preparation time, you can be finding out what the Word says about your situation, or you just have an overall working knowledge of what God's Word says. So then that brings us to number two. Then you can do this. You can pray and thank God for the answer. I can say this without fear of contradiction. God's Word has an answer for every situation in life that you will face. And He has a way to be able to move in that to cause deliverance, cause healing, whatever the situation is, to bring you out of that. If you will pray and thank Him for the answer. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He said this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." By the way, those first four words right there, I don't know if Paul ever did this, but that's a drop the mic statement right there. You know, Jesus said, don't worry. Paul said, don't be anxious for anything. You know, I could end my message right there, and if you could get those four words, it would save you a world of hurt. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I'm going to remind you of what the book of James says. A lot of times we don't get answers because we don't ask for answers. The scripture says we have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, we ask amiss. Why? Because we don't know what to ask for. And so God's word can tell you what to ask for. And here's what will happen when you ask. And notice He said, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. with thanksgiving. Thanking God for what? Thanking God for the problem? No. Thanking God that you have the answer. So when sickness and disease is trying to come against your body and you find out the Word says that Jesus took your infirmities, He bore your sicknesses, and by His stripes you are healed, that's the answer. So you can pray, Father, I thank You. I believe that I receive my healing in Jesus' name. And so from that point forward, it's thank You, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank You, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank You, Father, that the healing power of God is at work within my body to undo sickness and disease and to bring about a cure. You can receive and pray and thank God for the answer in advance. And He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know, it is truly, Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace, but it's not going to be like the world gives you. I'm going to give you my peace. There is something, and I wish I could explain it, but I can't. I don't have the words to explain it. In the middle of all hell breaking loose in your life, you can be totally at peace. At peace. Not by just because you're just letting stuff happen. No, you're resting in Him. I know in Jesus' name, He has the answer. He is the answer. And by His stripes I'm healed. Or my needs are met according to His riches in glory. Or He's working in my family. He's working in my... Whatever the situation is, you can be at peace. Am I helping anybody?
Yes.
Here's the third thing you need to do. And that is you need to stand in faith on God's Word. Stand in faith on God's Word. I remember years ago, anybody ever heard of y'all, and please, y'all pray for him. He pastors a weak, little broken down church down in Houston. Joel Osteen, anybody ever heard of Joel Osteen? Okay, he's struggling, really struggling, okay? Well, I'm old enough to have sat under his dad's ministry and his mom and dad, and I know his mom, and she's a lovely lady. And in 1981, December of 1981, she was diagnosed with full metastatic cancer of the liver and was given just weeks to live. And so after they got that diagnosis, she went back home, and she and Pastor John decided they were going to pray and stand in faith and believe God. And so literally, Pastor John in their bedroom, he took his Bible and he put it, I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm just wanting you to get this picture in your mind. He took his Bible and he put it on the floor, and he literally stood on his Bible and he told God, he said, God, this is my wife. I need my wife. My children need their mother. And so I am standing on Your Word today that says that she is healed. And so we come into agreement together and we thank You for her healing in the name of Jesus. And they decided to stand on the Word of God for her healing and that she is healed in the name of Jesus. Well, it took several months for the healing to manifest, but here's the good news. Miss Doty is, I think, 83 years old now, still going strong, and is disease-free, healed, because they decided to stand on the Word of God. Now listen, and don't say, well, that happens for preachers. No, it happens for you if you'll just do it. If you'll just dare to stand on God's Word. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able, and I highlighted this, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. And verse 14, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice, stand is in some form in those two verses three times. There are going to be times when you have done all you can do, you have prayed all you can pray, and it just means you're going to have to stand. Now, can I give you something free? This is absolutely free. It won't cost you anything, okay? Sometimes you need to learn the vocabulary of silence. Okay? Here, what do I mean by that? There are times when you're going to be confessing the word. You're going to be speaking the word, just like I'm talking about and like I've done and like Pastor John did and so forth and so on. But there are going to be times when you're standing on God's word and the heat gets so hot that you want to begin to break down and let things come out of your mouth that you really don't need to say because it'll undermine your faith in standing in God's word. So the best thing you can do is zip it and keep your mouth shut. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm as serious as I can be right now. When you're standing on God's word, and listen, people are going to come up and say, "How you doing? You look terrible." You just say, "Praise the Lord." Okay? All right, because you're going to want to say something. Your flesh is going to want to say something that's contrary to the word. Be quiet and let God's word work. Because God's word will work as long as you stay connected with it and stay in faith with it. But the moment you begin to head in an opposite direction by belief in your heart and words in your mouth, you've pulled the rug out from underneath what God is wanting to do in your life. Again, am I helping anybody? Look at number four. Number four is this. Learn to cast or roll your care or cares on the Lord. Now, I put cast or roll on purpose because they're not synonymous, okay? And I'm going to tell you why. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Peter said this, "Therefore humble yourselves, demote and lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you." Now, there's a reason Peter led into this thought by saying that, and here's why. And I'm just going to cut right to the quick. When you are worried, you're trying to be your own God. And you're trying to solve the problem yourself. And so what Peter is saying is, get off your throne, humble yourself, so that God can work in your life and begin to exalt you by giving you the victory. Verse 7, here's how you do it. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So here's the point of what I want you to get. The word care in that verse, the word cast in that verse is simply this. If I have some cares, catch this, Fat. So, and I'm going to cast this glass case over on my friend Jonathan, okay? I just cast that over on him. And so that verse in the New Testament is telling us, cast your cares over on the Lord. So there's times when you have to cast and just cast your stuff over on the Lord and quit trying to carry it, okay? Are you following me? So, you know, maybe you've been in a service where you had some prayer requests or something and you wrote it on a piece of paper and you balled it up and you threw it as a symbol that you're casting those things over on the Lord. All right? And so we're supposed to do that. So the word cast literally means to throw as with your arm. But now I want to show you a couple of verses from the Old Testament. Look at Psalm 37, verse 5, says this. Commit. Everybody say commit. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit. Everybody say commit again. Everybody say it, please. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. In the Hebrew, the word commit there, and it is referring to basically the same principle, but the word commit there means to roll. Everybody say roll. R-O-L-L, roll. Now, here's the difference. When I have small stuff, okay, you know, and I'm talking about And you know, when things are not humongous, they're just little nagging things. I can take that and I can cast it on the Lord. But let me ask you a question, particularly towards the men. Any of you guys ever tried to move a piano before? Okay. Yeah. All right. Pianos ain't no joke. They're very heavy. You ever tried to move a piano upstairs? It's even worser. Okay? Now, here's why. Because you can't cast a piano wherever you need it to be. You have to push it, and hopefully it might have some wheels on it, and you can say it with me, you can roll it where it needs to go. See, listen to me. There are going to be times in life when the pressure gets on and it is gigantic. It is huge and it is heavy, like a piano would be. Or just imagine a big piece of furniture that you're trying to move. And sometimes you're not going to be able to cast that over on the Lord. You're going to have to roll that over on the Lord. Now here's the good news. He'll help you roll it over on Him. But you need to either cast it or roll it over on Him, and you will know the difference. Because anytime that it's just so big, and listen, there's going to be times when you're not going to know what to say or how to pray because the need or the pressure is so great. I can tell you, from moving heavy pieces of furniture or moving a piano, if you're on the bottom and you're trying to go up the stairs, it's not the time to talk about the weather and how much weight you've been lifting and how many times you've gone to the gym. No, there are going to be times when you're just pushing that thing and all you can do is say, ah! Here's what you need to understand. God understands that. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, that the Spirit of God will join with us and pray through us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. You need to know that the Holy Ghost is going to help you roll that thing over on the Lord. So you need to learn to cast or roll your cares over on the Lord. And here's the last thing I want to tell you, and this is hugely important. Don't miss it because of the moment that we're in. But here's number five, and that is this. Whatever you do, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You're going to be tempted to quit. You're going to be tempted to throw in the towel. You're going to be tempted to say, oh man, what's the use? Don't quit. Let me leave you with a couple of scriptures. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 in the Message Bible says this. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or we don't quit. Can I tell you this, and I want to say something, and this is applicable to me just like it is to you. I believe that when we get to heaven, Jesus and us, we're going to have some conversations. And I think the Lord's, in His loving way, compassionate way, He's going to let us see that maybe the times that we did quit, how close we were to victory. And I want to tell you right now, if you're in this room this moment and you're tempted to quit, here's why you don't. Because you're at the closest moment to walking into your victory than you ever have been. You're right at the threshold of stepping into the thing that God wants you to step into. You're right there. You're right there. Look at this last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. It says, yes, you know that many runners enter a race, and only one of them wins the prize. So he says this, he wraps it up with this, so run to win. You know, I think going back to the story of the seals that I was telling you about earlier, I think that's one thing that gets ingrained in them, is they don't know the word quit. They get to a point where they, no matter how bad things are going, how much pain they're experiencing, how many times they've been wounded or shot or whatever the case is, There's two things that they know. They don't quit. They don't give up. And then the other thing is they don't leave their buddy laying on the battlefield. They never let themselves get to the point where they want to give up. Now, you can be tempted to want to quit. But here's the key. Don't quit. Because you will win. Listen to me, everybody. You will win if you will stay in the fight. Sometimes, you just need to know this. Sometimes you're just going to have to outlast the devil. He's a persistent cuss. Okay? And he's going to try to outlast you. And here's like Paul saying in that verse in 1 Corinthians 9, make up your mind going into the fight. I am in it to win it, and I'm not quitting. I'm not backing down, and I'm not giving up. Are you listening to me? Will you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word that we've heard today. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace in our lives. Father, I thank you for the truths of your word that we've heard today. And Father, I thank you that it's fallen on good ground, the people of Spring Hill Church. And Father, I believe that it's going to produce fruit in every single one of our lives. That, Lord, we're going to walk in victory. That we're going to walk in everything that you have in store for us. And Father, we're going to take the steps that you've given us, and we're going to make up our minds that we're going to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for anybody under the sound of my voice that might be at the point where they're like, you know, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know if I can go one more day. Father, I just pray that in Jesus' name, something supernatural happen on the inside of them. I pray, Father, that you give them more courage, more unction, more whatever it needs to be on the inside of them to help them to stay in the fight and to follow it all the way through to victory. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. I thank you. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be our helper, that he would be our standby, that he would be that source of power that we need, Father, to push us all the way to victory. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that I'm in the presence of people who are persistent, who outlast the enemy, that decide that they're going to press their way to victory in every situation. And Father, I thank you for that, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Now, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Maybe you're here and you say, well, you know, Pastor, I gave my heart to Christ, but I haven't been walking with the Lord like I should, and I really need to make things right. I really need to come back home. Let me tell you something right off from the get-go here, and that is this. The devil's going to try and lie to you and tell you, number one, you can do that next week. No, do it now. The scripture says today is the day of salvation. The other thing that he's going to try and get you to believe is that you've messed up too badly for God to even want you, and that is a lie as well. He wants you so bad, God does, that he's pursuing after you right now. It's the Spirit of God that's moving in your heart, drawing you to him right now. Now, here's the good news. It's very easy. Jesus has made it so easy for us to surrender our lives to him, either the first time or to recommit our lives to him. And that is simply this. We just have to believe in our heart that Jesus died for us, that he was buried, but then on the third day, he arose from the dead. And then the scripture tells us that once we believe that in our heart, we just surrender our lives to him and make Jesus the Lord of your life. I want to invite you to do that today if you never have, or as I said, you need to recommit your life to the Lord. That's a simple thing as well. You just turn your heart back towards him. And Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 15 that when we do that, God runs towards you, ready to receive you. So if that's you today, I'd love the privilege of being able to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up, come down front, or anything like that. But with every head bowed, nobody looking around, I'm going to ask you to take a simple step of faith, and that is just simply raise your hand. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Christ for the first time, or I want to recommit my life to the Lord. Anybody else, you want to, come on, let's pray, church. Believe God. Hallelujah. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, will you do me a favor? Pray this prayer with me and say it so loud that you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe with all my heart that you died for me. I believe you shed your blood. I believe you were buried, and I believe you were raised from the dead. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Wash me clean in your blood. Forgive me of my past and give me a brand new start. I believe in Jesus' name that I am clean today, that I am forgiven, and that I am whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, God bless you. We love you. We're so proud of you. And listen, you made the best decision of your life. And church, can we take just a second and celebrate? Yeah, come on. Let's make some noise. Yeah, come on. Let's lift it up.